Thought for today. We have two thoughts. Being a horse whisperer is fun, and generosity is giving to those who do not need it. Being a horse whisperer is fun, and generosity is giving to those who do not need it. Being a horse whisperer is fun, and generosity is giving to those who do not need it. Let's look at the horse whisperer first. We've been watching some tapes on Pirelli, who has the natural horse training program, and we've just seen the first segment of it. And the segment is called Playing the Friendly Game. Now, unfortunately, we aren't taught to do that. We are taught to do things that are not necessarily friendly. Mothers become exasperated with children and fathers. And the mother will say, clean up your room. And the child will say, okay, and he doesn't do it. She says, clean up your room. He doesn't do it. She says, clean up your room. He says, why? She says, because you'll have a nice room to be in then. Why? 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 A barrage of beautiful whys. And finally the mother, in exasperation, says, because I told you to. That's reason enough. Well, when you get to that level, all learning ceases. Love went out the window. Caring no longer exists. You cease to be a candidate for being a horse whisperer. A horse whisperer is one who has infinite patience. A horse whisperer is one who knows himself first, and then knows that which he loves, whether it be a horse or a child, a husband or a wife, whether it be a boss, no matter what it is in our life, to be a horse whisperer is one of the most noble callings that we could ever have. The reason it's such a noble calling is that we have learned to listen to our heart. We have learned to listen within ourselves. And we say, how would we like to be treated? How would we like to be responded to in the way that the world trains us? And we don't. One of the things in the horseman training that was so very graphic, the trainer came up to the horse and he put his hand on the horse's nose. Well, the horse's nose is a very tender area. His eyes, true, his ears, true. But the nose is very tender. And the horse trainer said, let the horse know that all people who smell like people are not aggressive, predator-type people who are going to hurt them. So you take your hands and you gently touch the horse's nose. It's just like if you tweak it gently. Now, you don't know many people who love each other, even though you've lived through your mature years. You have never really been loved. You have never really been cared for. Has your mother ever taken her hands and gently touched your face, gently gone over your face with such love? Has your mother ever kissed you on the nose? Just because she wanted to kiss you on the nose. Oh, she'll kiss you on the cheek. The cheek is okay. Or on the eyes, you know, when you have your closed eyes. But to kiss you on the nose, that's a schnurry, sloppy type of thing. You know, that's where your nose juices come out, and it's not always very pleasant. It isn't always that way, but it's just the thing of it, you know. A French kissing is a very difficult thing, too, for a person the first time or second time or third time they do it, because they're being invasive. They're going into somebody else's mouth with their tongue or something like that, and it's a very obnoxious type of thing. And you have to really love the other person to want to do that. Well, now, why don't you take your tongue and go up a person's nose, or go in their ear, or go around their eye? Oh, but that's, well, you know, it's just not done. A mare, a mother horse, will take her nose and go all over her baby. She'll take her tongue and she'll lick all over the face. If there's any schnitter in the nose, she licks it away. She brushes the foal's teeth with her tongue. She cleans out the foal's mouth with her tongue. She has total access to that little foal. Have you ever seen, I have not seen a horse born, but I've seen a cow, calf born. And when the calf is born, the embryonic sac is there, and it has to be disposed of. The embryonic sac doesn't just lie there, but the mother eats it from the child, from the calf. And then the mother washes the calf from head to foot with its tongue, bonding itself with that calf. That calf knows who its mother is even more than a horse with its foal. A horse has to do a lot more than a cow does, because a cow instantly finds everything about her little calf acceptable and desirable. They lick it from head to foot. And when it makes its first mess, they lick that away too. They don't think anything negative about that at all. You see, we do. We are insensitive to that. We are sensitive in perhaps the wrong way, because we find that gross, objectionable. And yet, could any mother ever find her baby objectionable? Oh, we've got to get the diapers on there. We've got to get this, got to get that. And yet, the baby's naked body against the mother's is one of the most bonding, beautiful things that could ever be. That's learning to be a horse whisperer. That's learning to be a mother. You see, that's opening the manual on what it means to be a mother, to do what comes naturally. But in our current day, they take the baby away from the mother and they put it in either an incubator or in the maternity, in the ward where the babies go. And the mother only sees the baby for feeding time or something else like that. Spends very little time with the baby. And the baby is changed by the nurse. The baby is taken care of by the staff. And the mother doesn't see the baby. The mother doesn't know what's going on. In fact, sometimes they even make a mistake. And in washing the baby, the little band comes off. I can't imagine how that would be. But babies are switched, purposely or not. Sometimes babies are switched in the hospital. And the mother doesn't even know the difference. She has no bonding with her child. She's not been a horse whisperer with her child. Perhaps having children being born in the home with a midwife is far more beautiful for the child. But we need the hospitalization. We need to have all these things that are given to the babies, the drops in the eyes and this and that and the other thing. The midwife can do that too. I think we would probably kill just as many children by having them born in the home as we do in the hospital. Because the babies die in the hospital. Oh, if they have difficult time, or if they're coming in upside down, or a cesarean is needed, then those things can all be taken care of perfectly because the hospital is there. But all the entire life of the baby, it does not have the bonding with the parent. It does not have the bonding with the father and the mother and its siblings, if there are any siblings. And it is separated, and it will never come home, because it doesn't know where its home is. It's told that this is its mother and this is its father, but it doesn't know that, because it hasn't had the opportunity of being with them 24 hours of the day. Of being, oh, the mother needs some rest, take the baby away. Ah. The baby will rejuvenate the mother will rejuvenate the baby. We've been taught these limiting things, and they have created us to have an unbonded world in which parents and children just are not together. How fortunate the pioneer families that the children were born in the home. How fortunate for the calves. Have you ever seen a calf that went to the hospital to be born? They're born out in the field someplace. They're born in a hollow. Horses, pop, out they come. Oh, they make big shows about the horse being born in the stable, you know, and then the owners are there cautiously waiting over it, worrying about it. They're worrying about it because they got an investment in there. They got a lot of money in that very fancy horse. Children at the stable watching a critter being born is a totally different thing. Because there, the magic of birth is what's in their heart. The adults, it's just the physiognomy and physiology of birth that they're interested in. The children are the real horse whisperers, because they're communicating with those little animals that are coming forth into the world. And the mother does not object to a child being nearby, because the child and its innocence is just like the newborn and its innocence. You want to be a horse whisperer? You want to be a horse whisperer? Love. Just love yourself first. And when you love yourself first, then you can reach in to the aura of love. Anita told us a story this morning about a unicorn who had an aura about it which could not be penetrated unless you were loving. In the life and teachings of the Master of the Far East, the bandits were coming into the scene and Jesus was there. And Jesus created a great field, an aura of love, which only love could penetrate. But unfortunately, the drama and the creative spirit of the author had the bandits coming and smashing into this aura as though it were a steel wall and hurting themselves and killing themselves. And Jesus and the group had to come outside of this band of love and heal the bandits. You see, we sometimes tell our stories so interestingly because we want to make them dramatic. The story from the Bible of Jesus, no one will ever know. The story of Jesus hanging on the cross, everybody knows. They've made the drama the thing rather than the beauty the thing. The beauty of the teachings of the Christ are noble and eternal. The death that he had was just to show that the last enemy man would overcome is death. But we play up the death rather than the overcoming. Here, children are taken away from their parents at birth and put into a different room, so it's sterile. And sterile of love, too. And the children grow up hard and cold. That's why children love rock music. That's why they love drugs. That's why they love all these things. They're looking for something that they could have had from the very beginning with their parents. They could have learned to be a horse whisperer. They could have learned to communicate from the very start. Now let's step into zone two here. Generosity is giving to those who do not need it. A horseman and his horse are working together. The horseman does not need to be loving to his horse. He can be very dominant and dictatorial, and the horse will do what he wants him to do. The horse will come when he calls him. The horse will kneel when he wants him to. The horse will do all these things. However, if the horseman gives his generosity to the horse because the horse doesn't need it, but because the horseman is generous, then he'll have 200%. Because if he gives in love, the horse will feel this and the horse will respond in love. And the two will have 200% of love. We're usually giving because we think someone needs it. We give presents because we think someone needs it. Yesterday we sent flowers to a friend, and we sent a card to the friend, and the flowers arrived, and the friend was delightfully pleased. But the card did not arrive because the friend was not where the card was to be received. And I said, call her and tell her that the card is on the email for her on the internet to go get it. And our attitude was, well, let her see it in the morning and she'll have another surprise. Well, damn it. It's not a present for her. It's a present for me. I'm giving because I want to give. She doesn't need it. I need it. I don't need it. I'm giving because I want to have it. I want her to have the experience. I want her to see it. And I want her to see it now. I don't want to see it in the morning. I want her to see it now. I'm giving it because I sent an email because I wanted her to have it right away. Right away. You see, we forget. We think it's for her. We think it's for somebody else. We're giving it because they need it. They don't need it. We don't need it, but we want it. We're giving because we want to give, because it's our heart. Now, it doesn't have to be received, but we're giving it so that it can be now. And if it's not now and complete, it never will be complete. You see, when she goes to see that card today, it's after her birthday. And all of the thrill of her birthday is over. She could have taken it to her parents and showed them at the party that they were giving for her. You see, this is what my people in my world think of me. This is what people think about me. And she could be so proud of that. Not that she needs to. I'm sure her birthday party was preeminent with her family. Delightful in every way. But we don't give to others because they need it. We don't give to others because they want it, because they'll be smiling over it or happy about it. We give because we're giving. So when you give, just give it. And give it immediately when you give. Because if you don't Give it immediately when you give. The gift has died. Because you're the only one that the gift is being given for. The horse whisperer who speaks to his horse, he doesn't care whether the horse hears him or not. He hears him. He imagines the horse doing everything he wants him to do. He imagines everything being beautiful. He is giving such generosity. He is creating about him such an aura of light, of love, of oneness, that that horse and anything else just has to be part of that. Not the has to be so much, but it's impossible not to be touched by it. I always use Gregor as an example because he comes in and he gets right down on the floor. The first thing he does and goes to the puppies. He doesn't go to us. He doesn't give us all a big hug and say hi. And he just gets right down on the floor and gets with the puppies or the cat or whatever. He's not getting down on the floor to love the dogs. He's getting down on the floor because he's loving himself. His generosity is not to get something from the dogs. His generosity is just to give his love, to give his infinite capacity of feeling unlimited love. Now, if the dogs and cats weren't there, he'd get up and give his love to us. But the dogs and cats are there. And he gets down and he does it. Now, what about us? What about us? Are we able to give because that's our nature? Are we able to be generous because that's our nature? Are we able to be outgoing because that's our nature? Or are we doing it because we want something back? Are we doing it because we want a response? We want someone to see that card, someone to receive that gift, someone to say, oh, what a wonderful cake we have for this wonderful event that we have here today. Let me ask you a question, and if you can answer it honestly, you'd be surprised. You've gone to birthday parties, you've gone to weddings, where cakes are supposed to be quite the thing. In all honesty, don't just say because other people said things. In all honesty, did you taste that cake? Was that cake really so good? Or was it the event that made the cake good? You go to a wedding cake and that wedding cake's not all that good. It's okay. But it's the wedding. It's the happiness of the couple cutting the cake and shoving it in each other's face and playing games and giving it so that you can take a piece home to your brother or your mother and they can put it under their pillow. I don't know why they'll put it under their pillow, but they want to have it or you want to share it. It's silly, but it's part of the game we play. But I assure you, you don't know what that cake tastes like. That great, big, beautiful appearing cake, it probably tasted quite good, but you don't know, because that cake was so wrapped up with the love of the event, the love of the little child cutting the birthday cake, or a big child, and the love of the big child or the little child saying, I want the biggest piece. It's all part of the game, isn't it? And the wedding couple, they get the first piece of cake. The birthday child, or adult, gets the first piece of cake. If the birthday child doesn't get the first piece of cake, then it is not a cake. It's not a birthday. It's not a birthday, right? It has nothing to do with the cake. It's just tradition. When Ingeborg had her birthday, She wanted to give me the first piece of cake. I said, no, Ingeborg, that's for you, the first piece of cake. Oh, no, Herb, this is for you. I said, Ingeborg, it's your birthday. It's your cake. You take the first piece of cake. Take the first piece of cake. That's tradition. And we laugh about the tradition. And we don't follow the tradition. We should do that. You know what I mean? That's what the game is. And the game is love. And the game is joy. Everyone expects you to take the first piece. Of course, Ingeborg had an ulterior motive. She cut the cake in nice slices and gave everybody a piece, and then she took the last piece, which was maybe 8 times as big as the rest of them, which was really pretty cool. I mean, you know, if you get right down to it, she was planning that ahead of time. But that's not the point. You can have the first and the last piece. It's your cake. But you got to take that first piece because that is tradition. Okay. When the horse, the mare, receives the foal from her own body, she licks the foal from head to foot, bonding with it, and also making sure that the foal is perfect. What she'd do if the foal weren't perfect, I have no idea. But she wants to make sure the foal is perfect. And she's loving it with all of her heart. And she's inspecting it with all of her heart. And she's saying, good, good, good foal, whatever you are, whether you're a filly or a foal. But I love you. And it's beautiful. But you have to play the game. Because that's what life's all about. You're not here to go contrary to the game. And if you go contrary to the game, you're going to pay a pretty heavy price. If the mare does not have her foal to bond with, that foal will never know its mother. It will probably think that some human that was handling it was its mother. Like the geese, when they lose their parent, they follow their alternate parent. If somebody has been feeding them and taking care of them, then that's their parent. Well, that just doesn't quite make it. It doesn't quite make it from the pure sense of it. So let's teach ourselves, if we want to be a horse whisperer, we're going to have fun being it. We're going to do it because our heart is in it. We wouldn't think of having our child born in the hospital if he could be born at home. And generosity is giving to those who do not need it. Because if someone needs it and you give them something, it's going to mean nothing to them. Because they'll just have to need it again. If they need food, then they'll need more food. Whereas if you don't give it to them because they need it, you give it to them because you love to give, then you have fulfilled the act of giving. The act of giving is to give because you want to give, not because someone needs it. Remember that. The act of having a child is for you and that child to open the book of life together in each other's arms. Preferably with the father and the other siblings there whenever possible. That's what life's all about. You play the game of tradition. You take the first piece of the birthday cake or the wedding cake. You be loving, and love returns to you in infinite measure. But it cannot return to you in infinite measure unless you first give it in infinite measure from yourself. Whether you're a horse whisperer, whether you're a mare or a mother or a father, whatever, give, not because they need it, but because that's your nature. I love you.